said.
Don't believe what I just saw!
I'm a man! I'm 40!
This is John Sheezer. I'm
Eric Marino.
Eric.
No, I gotta tell you about the Clippers. I'm an
addict. Sportsaholics, I gotta...
Let's just hope this shit doesn't go viral.
Okay.
Is breaking news. I'm heading back to Kansas City. I'm packing my bags right now. This is Sportsaholics, the all blue episode. It's gonna be strictly Royals, strictly Dodgers. I'm all excited because I went to a Dodgers game last Saturday. Great fans there. They're showcase. So you put a couple people in the hospital, you get a bad rap, but I had a great time at the game. Grinky got the win. I think he's locked in. I think it was 19 wins, lowest ERA in the National League. So we'll see if he wins the Cy Young Award. But it was Latino Heritage Night. No problems at all. Wearing Royals garb. Met my parents from another mother. I had my Royals postseason 2015 shirt on. And these older couple walks up. They've got the 2015 Dodgers shirt postseason on, same one, different skyline, you know, all that kind of stuff. But it was great because we just hit it off. It told a bunch of great stories, Buck O'Neill, all that good stuff. So had a great time at the first Dodgers game been to in a while. So this episode strictly all blue is what I'm telling you. And so it's because it's that time of the year. Look at your playoff brackets. It's like it's blue everywhere. I mean, that is why we opened up there. That was that spider lock, beautiful world is what you heard opening up. And this is a West Coast thing. You know, you're not going to really know this song unless you live in the West Coast, because I think I heard it on K-Day like 8 years ago or something. But again, all things blue, this episode, which is a great episode. We got Chris Porter, comedian from Kansas City, die-hard Royals fan, saying take me out to the ball game at Kauffman. Just a guy that ordered a jersey that's supposed to be authentic. They got it to him. It didn't have any of the right patchwork or anything. Sent it back. They sent it to him again. Still wasn't. They didn't do it right. So finally, it took him 3 times to get the jersey that he actually paid for. But what that tells me is he's a big enough fan that he knows, like, hey, isn't it supposed to have this and this on it? And he called him out on it, and they changed it. And so Chris Porter, diehard Royals fan, on the episode. We have Ryan Lilja, Kansas City native, ex-Chiefs and Colts player, Super Bowl champion, great guy, huge Royals fan. Have him on, just talk about the state of Kansas City, how everyone's feeling, everyone's vibing there. And then we will talk with Mark Cassidy, just got off a very long summer tour with the Hillbenders. Very critically acclaimed album. Check them out, the Hillbenders. We had him on a few months back, right before the season started. But he's a huge Dodgers fan. So we get into just being at Chavez Ravine and just some of the history there, why he likes the Dodgers, and the perks for him. He lives a mile away, so he gets to walk right up to the stadium. So that's not bad. But guys, so we'll do? We'll start with Ryan Lilja, former Chiefs, former Colts, big Royals fan. What I got to do, I got to get to LAX at the airport in about 6 hours. And so I'm leaving at 5 a.m., flying into Kansas City. I'll have a day to kind of debrief, get my Midwest sleep on. Because what happens is I'm a late guy, like, you know, 2, 3 a.m. is, you know, pretty standard. So if I'm going back to Central Time Zone, then you're looking at 5 a.m. is when I'm going to bed. And so everything's all out of whack. So at least I get a buffer day when I get there to just kind of get some of that situated. If I can even get to sleep, I'll be so excited. Thursday, go in. I guess, you know, it's Houston now. You know, the Yankees, I was pulling for the Yankees because few reasons why. Yankees, it just feels good to say, hey, Grandpa, remember, did you see that was great beating up the Yankees? I mean, nobody likes the Yankees, and only because for many different reasons. One, I've heard if you're traveling overseas and you're a Yankees fan, it's really frustrating. You'll be in Japan or Singapore or, you know, Brazil. You see a Yankees cap. Oh, Yankees, you Yankees fan? No idea what you're talking about. Just love that New York look. But anyway, it would have been nice to play the Yankees. Unfortunately, it's Houston, which to me is like playing the Royals last year. It's the same kind of team, young, unproven, all top prospects. The only difference is they've got Keuchel. We had James Shields last year. I'd say that team's slightly better on paper, has more power defensively. Maybe they say they're good. They are. They're fast, and every one of their outfielders, yeah, was a center fielder at one point, has made the adjustment. But I mean, Gordon like runs into walls. I mean, Springer's good, and God, I can't think of the left fielder with Rasmus with the freaking rat hair. Like, they're good, but they're not Gordon good. They're not Kane good. You know, maybe they're Dyson good. They're Aoki good. You know, they're definitely Paulo Orlando good, but they're not that upper tier which we have. And nothing against them. They're great players, and it's going to be a great series. So I'm going to get there Thursday. So if any of you guys are tailgating, hit me up at Sportsaholics on Twitter, please. I'll come eat your bratwurst. I'll eat your hot dogs. I'll drink your Boulevard beer. I'll interview you. We'll have you on the show. Anything for just some hospitality. Friday, I've got some relatives coming in from Columbia, Missouri to watch the game. So we're going to get together, do that. I think I'm just going to get standing room only. Going to get to the game early, and I recommend you do that. I did it at the World Series last year. You get there 2 hours early, walk around the park, soak it in, and just enjoy the moment. You know, it's playoff baseball in Kansas City. The weather's going to be crisp. It's going to be very nice. Get a couple hot dogs. Get there a couple hours before if you can. Tailgate a little bit, then mosey on into the stadium. Maybe you get a batting practice ball. I almost got a Hosmer home run that almost went into McCovey Cove. Anyway, ricocheted off a guy. Guy dove for it, got the ball, tore his pants. I mean, it was hilarious watching a 42-year-old dive for a ball. But you know what? If I was probably 3 feet closer, I would have been in the scrum. I would have come out. I regret not just getting in there in hindsight, because it was a Hosmer batting practice home run. You know, it was a pretty sweet deal. But anyway, so I'm going to get there, what I'm saying is, and just soak it all in. So if you're there Friday, if you're there Thursday, I'm going to be there. So hit me up at Sportsaholics. Let me know where you're at. I'll come out. I don't care if you're way past Arrowhead Stadium. I'll come down there. That's where we used to hang out anyway when we tailgated for the Royals games. But guys, Ryan might be there. We talk about it in the interview. But guys, sit back. When we come back from this break, we'll be speaking with Ryan Lilja, radio voice in Kansas City, and great guy and former NFL player.
If it ain't the blue tray, it's the blue foe.
All right, and we are back with our good friend of the show, Ryan Lilja, calling in from Kansas City. Ryan, how are you doing, man? It's good. It's good to have you back on.
Yeah, it's good to be on, buddy. Everything is good here. City's excited. It's kind of bizarre, but usually this time of year, it's all Chiefs. But the last 2 years, it's been all about the Royals. So you walk around town, everybody's got a shirt on or a hoodie or a hat on, and you open the newspaper and it's all Royals stuff. So it's a fun time of year, man, especially in Kansas City when, you know, you've gone 30 years without, really having high expectations. So this was a fun year, definitely.
Now, and from your perspective, you grew up in Kansas City, which is unique to have grown up in the city and then played for the Chiefs. You know, and got to feel that, you know, the Chiefs fandom, because Kansas City is a very passionate sports fan, or, you know, sports fandom, sports nation. And there just wasn't anything to cheer for, you know, 30 years. So if you compile that on top of each other, you know, it's like popping a champagne cork. All of a sudden, you've got all this built up fandom just explodes. And then in the case of the Royals, they just keep popping cork, so it just continues to grow and grow and grow. I know in the few times I've been back to Kansas City, I've seen more Royals flags than I ever saw Chiefs flags. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's phenomenal, man. Like you said, it's all been built up over the years. There's been some frustration for the fan base of both the Chiefs and the Royals. And last year, I got a funny story for you. Actually, you just reminded me. We had our third baby, a little girl, in July.
Congratulations!
July, and,
congratulations!
We go to this new hospital maternity wing, and I can't find a damn parking spot, and I'm driving all over the place. And we get in there, have the baby, everything's great. I leave for something, I come back, no parking anywhere. And then I start talking to nurses, and I said, guys, what is going on? This has never been described. And they said, you know what? It's been nuts. We had to send them to another hospital. We had to send them to the cardiac wing. We had to do this. And I said, well, what is it? They said, we couldn't figure it out. We looked back. Was there a snowstorm? Was there an ice storm? Was there a power outage? Was there full moons? What was, and they couldn't figure out. Then somebody came up with the Royals. So all these babies were born 9 months from October. Because everybody's popping corks here, everybody's jacked up, everybody's getting wild and having sex. This town was so nuts in October last year. There was zero productivity at all. Nobody was reading anything but the sports page, and it was a pretty special thing. But yeah, we're passionate here. This is a place that, frankly, we don't have a ton of stuff going on. We have the Chiefs, we have the Royals, we have our college teams. In the area, and we have barbecue, and a lot of people try to combine that with the sports, but that's really it. And so you got a lot of passionate people here who love baseball. Obviously, the nostalgia of the old Royals teams that were very competitive and won a championship 30 years ago. So it's been really neat, man. This was a strange year because I haven't remembered a year where there were actual expectations for a team, football or baseball. In the area where people really expected, to go to the championship, right? To go to the World Series.
Yeah.
That was the expectation.
You really have to go back to like 93. Like, okay, let's think about go way back when we were kids, 93. You've got Montana, the Marcus Allen, all that stuff going on.
Yeah.
But, so that kind of dwarfed anything the Royals were doing anyway. Plus, then you have the strike season next year, and then it was all downhill from there. I mean, really, once mm-hmm. Ewing Kaufman died, and so that was the last time really I can imagine that Kansas City would have been excited about both teams at the same time.
Yeah, and really the narrative has been the last decade here or more has been the Glass family's tight-fisted. They don't want to spend, and there's no way we'll be able to compete with the larger market teams, the ones that can buy all of our high-price free agents, the Jermaine Dyes and the Beltrons and the Grinkies. We can never pay a guy like that. Well, you're starting to see we're kind of in the top half of the league when it comes to payroll. But what's really impressive, John, is the way that this organization has drafted and developed these guys. That's what I think.
Hell yeah.
They take the most pride in. I mean, these are homegrown guys.
Dude, it's great. And, you're just like, Dayton Moore, you're a genius. I mean, look, the pitching staff this year, you got, Chris Young and Medlin, guys that were just – gone, and they managed to squeeze winning records out of these guys. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
Chris Young, unbelievable.
Yeah. I know.
You think back, John, a year and a half ago, people they hated Moustakas. He was overrated. Hosmer's a bum. Moose is going to go get sent down. Moose turns around. He was a freaking maniac in the playoffs. He had more home runs than any Royal, I think, ever. And he's just continued that. And these guys, the same line from the front office over and over again was, let's have patience. These guys are good. And, they doubled down, and it paid off for them because it was really looking like, these guys whiffed. They whiffed on this guy. And then the Shields for Will Myers deal last year, that trade, that was a big topic in Kansas City. Is it worth it? Well, it came to be. That it was worth it, and so the moves that this organization's made have really turned out to be incredible.
Oh, I know. I mean, even when the Grinky, when he leaves, you're just like, man. I mean, that's all the Royals had in 2009, 2008.
That's all you got.
But then the return on that, I mean, just the fact you get two all-stars at shortstop and center field, two of the most, you know, important defensive positions, and both those guys are arguably Gold Glove winners, if not Gold.
Absolutely.
You know, so, I mean, really, you can't get a better return on a Greinke trade. It's just not going to happen.
No.
So, I mean,
no.
Dayton Moore's done some amazing things and, you know, continue to draft pitching, which I'm excited about. I mean, you look at Hochever, our last, you know, top or first kind of big first overall pick, I think seventh overall in, like, I think 05, 06, whatever draft it was. And he was decent, but, you know, just never really got it together, and then obviously had injuries and stuff like that. But so now we've got the, you know, Miguel Almonte, who obviously hasn't done very well in his showing so far this season, but has a very, very bright future at 22 years old. You know, Ventura, Duffy, who's battled through injury, still hasn't really gotten to his full potential yet. Now you're, like you mentioned, you know, with the drafting, you're starting to see these guys come through and actually break into the big leagues and be dominant players, which is something that never happened for years and years and years with the Royals organization.
Yeah, and they're extending them, and they're keeping these guys here. You know, they'll sign a Salvi Perez to a real team-friendly contract, and they'll get him young, and he'll take the guarantee now over maybe making more money down the road. You know, Ventura, same kind of thing. You know, he's getting paid up. So, and these are guys that are going to be in your organization. Hopefully, they keep Porto. But these are guys that are key core guys in your locker room, on your team. And these are the guys you need to keep. And they're finding ways to do it. You know, back to kind of the Chiefs and talking about the Shields-Myers trade. You know, it's kind of like when they got, I don't know if you remember when they got rid of Jared Allen. He had a couple DUIs. He was one DUI away from missing a year.
I remember
they
that.
Sent him up to Minnesota. They get the pick they used on Jamal Charles, and I think the other pick they used on Brandon Albert, who ended up going to a couple Pro Bowls and is still a franchise tackle down in Miami. But, you know, Jamal's obviously Jamal.
Yeah.
He's a Hall of Famer. So, you know, you can't judge these things in real time. You kind of got to let it play out. But that's what, you know, these guys have a ton of cred here in town. These guys can do no wrong now because the moves they've made have worked out so well.
Yeah, no, it's great. I mean, I tweet at Terrence Gore all the time throughout the season. You know, he's down in, like, you know, Arkansas all year long. I'm like, hey, buddy, can't wait to see you in September. And like, hashtag, you'll never pay for a meal in Kansas City again. You know, like, it was great. He actually he tweeted back at me. He's like, oh, thanks, man. I appreciate the support. You know, but yeah, guys like that, if you're in Kansas City, if you see Terrence Gore, pay for the man's meal. I mean, he is a hero locally, stole, you know, bases, horrible at bat, but you know, local legend. He's like the TJ Watley of the Kansas City Royals. That's a really deep Kansas Jayhawks reference, minus the mustache.
Yeah, he had a role and he was really darn good at it. Not as well rounded as a lot of guys, but man, when he went in, you knew he was gonna steal. And he's a little dude who just just smoking fast, and he'd get it done. It was fantastic to see how Ned manages this team, and how, you know, their small ball kind of philosophy. They execute it so well, and it's neat to see it all come together for this team.
It's great, and who would have thought back to back years in the playoffs? I never dreamed of it, but
that's phenomenal.
I'm excited. Well, before we get out of here, Ryan, any playoff predictions on the American League side, on the National League side, you care to share with us?
You know what, dude? I don't make predictions. You know, it's a funny game. All these games and all these teams are good. They've proved it by getting it this far. And, you know, I just hope we can kind of recapture a little bit of that magic that we had last year, winning 8 straight playoff games and go to the World Series and being really 90 feet away from tying it there. And, you know, That's kind of the mindset around here, is if we can kind of recapture that. And it's a totally different scenario, though, John, because these guys are coming from, hey, nobody thought they could do it last year, and every game was popping bubbles and ski goggles and, you know, tarps on the lockers and all that crap. Well, now their expectations are so much higher. I don't know if it's going to help them or hurt them. Are they going to be tighter? Or are they going to... you know, are they going to be thinking ahead, or are they just going to be playing loose and having fun and trying to win games? So it's going to be fun to watch, man. This is a great time of year.
Yeah, I call that time, I call it veil time, because you got ski goggles on and you're popping champagne.
It's phenomenal. Dude, I tell you what, every time I see that, I get a little bitter because the NFL, the no fun league, dude, we win the Super Bowl and we're in the locker room and we say a prayer and call it up and talk to the media. I mean, it's so boring and just, it was lame. And I watch these guys, you know, they won a wild card game and you know, it's like kids, man. I mean, a lot of these guys, you know, in all fairness, I mean, these guys play a kid's game. They play a ton of games. They start playing at a young age outside of, you know, guys like Kane, but they, you know, they're playing it. Most of the time they don't spend 3-4 years in college. They're, you know, they're in the minors and they're developing. And so,
yeah, they're in like Idaho Falls.
These guys just get crazy.
And so like in the NFL, it looks like, I mean, from a fan's perspective, they force all the celebration on the field. And once you leave the field, it's strictly, then you're just walking into like a media barrage from that point on.
That's it. Yeah, that's pretty much it, you know, and they regulate that stuff pretty good. And, you know, I've talked to guys in the majors, and I've talked to, you know, different guys in other sports leagues. And really, the NFL, I mean, you can't have alcohol on plane rides. You can't have it on bus rides after wins. And, you know, these guys, I think it might have a lot to do with the union, to be honest with you, because our union is so weak relative to some of these other sports, especially baseball. But, you know, these guys just have fun, man. They're kids playing a game, and they want to celebrate. And it's, the NFL's not like that. But, you know, baseball, definitely, they do it right.
Yeah, they'll take billions from Budweiser, but as soon as you want to drink one, they're like, no.
Yeah, the hypocrisy is rich, but that is what it is, man. It's they craft their image and they try to maintain it, and I'm not sure how it's going to work out. Really, I think this is kind of an interesting time in the NFL, but yeah, man, it's all about baseball right now.
Yeah, and that, well, actually, I've got a current beef with Major League Baseball and DraftKings because I mean that is gambling without a doubt, gambling. And now every time you watch any baseball analysis, they give you, these are the players that we're going to pick that are going to, you know, it's completely like hypocritical when they're not even willing to legitimately address, you know, the Pete Rose issue. And I'm not some huge Pete Rose to the Hall of Fame, but what I am is don't blacklist this guy and at the same time open your palms over here and take so much money that I can't even watch a Royals or Dodgers game without Vin Scully or whoever's announcing telling me which players are going to have great games and who I should pick, you know, with DraftKings. It's like the most hypocritical thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's a funny time right now with sports and fantasy sports and the gambling surrounding them. And, you know, I read an article, I'm not sure what media outlet it was recently, but basically it was some accusations made that the two daily fantasy sports sites, an executive or an employee on one of the sites leaked information regarding the trends. Because it's all a numbers game. If you might win with your player, but if everyone else takes that same player, then your wins are going to, you know, it's not going to be as impactful. So
yep.
This guy went and ended up winning almost $400,000 on a competing site. And, you know, the organization that's supposed to legislate and regulate the rules with these daily fantasy sports teams is made up of the two CEOs of the companies.
That's awesome.
And some other hacks. So, you know, it's funny. I don't know how many people play it, but they must be making a crap load of money because every time you watch a game or every time you listen to sports talk radio, they're advertising.
Dude, it's ridiculous. I mean, and that's kind of where I kind of got fed up because I'm like, how much money are they making? I mean, you know that the Super Bowl is like $10 million per 30 seconds or whatever, but they're paying, I mean, a half a billion dollars. I mean, it's got to be. I mean, they got to be bringing in like $30, $40, $50 billion because they're advertising budgets like $500 million.
They're everywhere, and it's not just that. I mean, I did a chat with some people at a local casino for a radio station that I do some stuff with, and they had brought in a guy that apparently flies around the country, and he's a fantasy sports guru, and he does a 3-hour segment up there, and you see guys out with notes, and they're taking notes like for 3 hours, and I said, man, this is a big deal. I said, is this all he does? Yeah, that was his job. That was his career. All he does is study, you know, these ridiculous metrics, like, you know, how many times does this guy run from inside the five, and how many times does he score from it, you know? And they talk about this stuff, and people just salivate, man. They're sitting in there, and they're taking notes. And so yeah, is it gambling? Absolutely. Is there some skill involved? I guess maybe a little, but there's also a ton of luck involved because at the end of the day, nobody knows what's going on any football, you know, game, and that's the beauty of it. But geez, man, it is everywhere. I don't know anybody who doesn't play fantasy football.
Yeah, it's. I mean, hell, they made a whole show after it. For God's sakes, who would have ever thought that? Wait, Ryan, appreciate the time. Thanks for coming on, talking Royals, a little bit of football, some good stories. You know, as the Royals progress, maybe hit you back up on, have you in a couple weeks, hopefully talking World Series championship and, you know,
yeah,
Royals parade.
Yeah, always fun, brother.
Hell yeah. All right, man, we'll talk soon. You be good, all right? With huge, enormously huge, I don't even want to say ginormous Royals fan, Chris Porter. Chris, how are you doing, man? It's good to have you on Sportsaholics.
I'm good. I'm anxious. I'm excited. I'm nervous. I'm all those things. It's been a long season, and I've been waiting for this very moment, and it's here. I don't know what to do about it.
Are you? Do you have a watch party planned, or a possible trip to Kansas City in your future?
Well, it just so happens I'll be at a gig Thursday, Friday, so I'll have to figure out how I'm gonna watch it. But I got a guy into a show, and he is going to reward me with a playoff ticket, so I might. If there's an ALCS game 5, I might make that one, or I'll try to make one of the ALCS games at call.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I mean, I'd love to go back. I'm still thinking about it, actually, for the game 1, but I don't have tickets purchased yet. But it's still a possibility. But then I'm thinking, you know what? Why spoil it now? Why not just wait and go to a further round game, possibly?
Absolutely. And, you know, but it is...
You never know.
I mean, if we do end up playing the Yankees, there's kind of a special hatred there, so I'd love to definitely see a game with them. But, you know, the ALCS is going to be, I should say, it's all going to be hard. It's all going to be hard. And not that last year we played any fucking moves, but now, you know, there's... The Yankees and the Astros are no joke, and we've struggled with the Astros all the last 2 years, really. And, you know, and then Toronto and the Rangers are no joke either. So it's going to be a lot of fun, but it's going to be a lot of work, and I'm excited.
No, it's a good opportunity for the Royals to just say, hey, you guys are good, and that's awesome, and we respect that, but, you know, we're great. You know, and this is why, you know, and play their style of baseball. And again, show the world like, hey, you know, if you do it this way with these guys, that have, you know, in some cases, limited amount of skill, if you put those pieces together the right way, you can be a successful winning franchise. And I think they're on the cusp of proving that.
Yeah, and they're favored to win it all. But, you know, you got to go out there and do it. And, you know, these guys are hungry. We all remember last year, and you saw they came out at the beginning of this year. They weren't respected. I just couldn't believe at the beginning of the year, like, no one was talking about the Royals. Like, everyone was, like nothing had happened last year.
Yeah, it was kind of strange. Like, you know, I think I saw maybe one or two people that were like, okay, maybe they win the wild card. One guy, I think, had him winning the division, but everyone was all over Texas, or no, I'm sorry, Detroit, and rightfully so. I mean, they still had Price at the time, and they, you know, Cabrera hadn't gone down with the injury and all that stuff. But, yeah, a lot of people missed on the Royals, and it was kind of baffling because you're like, well, did you not just see all of that, like, magic? And it takes a special camaraderie, and yeah, they lost James Shields, but you know, they still had everybody else, and
absolutely, and Shields didn't do anything in the playoffs.
Yeah, it's not like he was just some savior. You know, they're like, oh, they lost Nolan Ryan. You know, what are they going to, you know, if you go back and look, his playoff record, I think, was like 2-4 or something lifetime. You know, it's,
and he had like a, well, I know last year's ERA during our playoffs was like 6.
Yeah, you know, when you're Jeremy Guthrie has better ERA than James Shields, you know, at that point during the playoffs.
That's a tough spot, if Guthrie's like, step it up
for us. Hochevar's like, man, are you all right? That's when you know you got problems.
Yeah.
What are your concerns for the Royals? You know, things that bother you, aside, Greg Holland and that whole, you know, relief pitching aside. Aside from that, which might not even be a problem. For me, I'm like, they've addressed it and I think it's patched up. I'm not really too concerned about it. But what are your main concerns for the Royals this year?
My major concerns are still our youth. You know, we all went last year and it was fun, but you know, that was, we rode a wave of energy through that, and you know, now there are expectations, and not only from the fans but from themselves, and I think that's a lot to carry. Cueto's an issue. I know.
yeah.
Listen, we won the last 5 games, so it's hard to say we were in a slump. But let's be honest, September was awful. And listen, I know it's hard to play every day when you're up by 12 games in the division, and at the time you've got like a 6-game lead and home field advantage. Like, I get it. It's hard to motivate yourself when you're really just waiting for the playoffs, but you also got to keep yourself, I feel like, in a groove. And
it's hard to do that, you know, when they expand the roster. It's like, I went to the game last Friday. It was the game after they had clinched the division. And it was the joke I kept telling everyone was, hey, at least we didn't have to drive to Omaha to see the Storm Chasers play. And everyone, ha, 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 ha. But it was true.
I made the joke. I was like, that lineup was so bad that Zobra should have wore a Sweeney jersey.
It was, I mean, the backup catcher was starting at first and the third string catcher was starting. I mean, it was, I've seen nothing like it ever.
Yeah, but, and also I get it. Like, I guess the boys didn't realize you probably shouldn't swallow all the champagne someone's shooting in your mouth.
I know, right? They're just bombed.
You know, and champagne hangovers are the worst, and I understand that. But we're tied for the home field advantage at that point. And I think that's going to be, you know, in retrospect, it's fine because we got it. But at the time, you're just like, you know, we got, you know, shit's still going on here.
Yeah, I think we had a 1-game lead. And, you know, and if you want to look at positives, they in a sense, you know, overcame a little bit of adversity and managed to win that home field advantage, you know, and power through that. Now, whether the Blue Jays just collapsed, I know they got beat like a drum, you know, by Tampa Bay on the last day of the season, or, you know, but that consistent play, that's what you want to see. And, you know, they had a little bit of pressure there. It's like, we kind of need home field advantage. And that's a lot. I mean, not that the GM's going to say it, but he's like, hey, can we kind of get home field advantage? Because that's potentially an extra $10 million of revenue for the team.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
You know, it's
other things I worry about is Escobar's bat. And, you know, I don't know how much time Infante is going to get now that we got Zobrist. But then I think that also depends on Gordon's health.
Yeah.
Which is another concern.
Personally, I think he's been like, he hasn't been giving it his all, saving it up. And I don't think he's still 100%, but I think we've only been seeing like really 80% of what he can do on defense. So I think there's going to be an extra couple steps, you know, in his stride this postseason defensively.
Yeah, and I want to see, you know, I want to see Kane dive and catch. I want to see some more amazing Kane, because we haven't really seen a lot of that. Now, I know his knee's bothering him and stuff, but not only do those catches save runs, they also start momentum. And they did that a lot last year in the playoffs. Like, he, especially like the early innings, he'd dive and catch a ball, and it was over. Like, Royals' bats would be on, everybody would be on, and the other team didn't stand a chance. But I remember game one of the World Series. Like a ball came out that Kane would have normally dove for, but you could tell he was nervous. It's game one of the World Series. It was batter one of the World Series. And he laid back on it and let it bounce. And it was like, I knew right then, I was like, we're going to lose this game because we're nervous and we're going to hesitate like that. And then by game two, we'd let that go. But, you know, that could have changed the whole momentum.
Yeah. It just takes all the wind out of the other team's sails. Because at that point, you're thinking, well, I can crush this pit. We'll let you get going. I know you got a busy day ahead of you, but appreciate your time. And then as the Royals progress here, we'll definitely just have you on. And then, you know, maybe we can, I'm hoping for that Dodgers Royals World Series.
Yeah, for no other reason than we can catch a game. And like I've been telling everybody, I'm like, the cool thing about a Royals Dodgers is most of Dodgers fans can't read cursive, so we'd be pretty safe.
That's awesome. Well, Chris, hey, thanks for coming on. Continued busy schedule and being everywhere, but I know something's going to work out. You'll get to a game. I can feel it. Absolutely, man. Be good.
Whitey led the way. Freddie Patek, Cal McRae. The 1980 pennant brought a royal cheer. I'm talking baseball. Willie Wilson, Georgie Brett, Royal baseball. Akins, Tom Pocket, Leonard and Gura throw the pea. Darryl Porter, whoops, he's in St. Louis. Talking baseball in KC. Now when you're talking royal baseball, Jim Colborn, Rich Sheinblum, the waterfalls at Royal Park where Brett attacked the 400 mark. Busby, two no-hitters, one. Kansas City, here I come. '81 wasn't all there. There were strikes and Billy Ball there. But once again, a brand new season calls. New names join the old. Another team unfolds. They'll answer the bell with blue and you well, so let's play ball. I'm talking baseball. Willie Wilson, Georgie Brett.
Hey, sorry about that, the Porter interview. For some reason, it stopped recording, and then I didn't notice, but anyway. So we lost like 5 minutes. But point being, Chris, as you can tell, is a huge fan. And thanks, Ryan Lilger, for coming on. Shared some great stories. That was awesome. And so, as you can tell, I've changed my tone. I went from like being like on the fence when I talked with Chris earlier to being like, yeah, you know what, I'm gonna go, because you know, you just never know. And it's a great experience. And just being at the stadium last year, and you know, even if they lose, even if they win, I just want to be there and have a good time. And I love Chris's last minute jab at Dodgers fans, which maybe some of them can't read. There's a lot of people that can't read at a lot of baseball games. It's just not specifically LA. It's just maybe they don't have a hard time reading English specifically, and then cursive English on top of that might be even more difficult. I think that's what Chris was trying to say. But Dodger Stadium is an amazing experience. Many people will tell you that. We talked, you know, Chris Kamler, Baseball Insider, he visited the stadium earlier this season, had a great time. It is a good place to see a game. I would just maybe recommend a day game. You know, it's a little, there's more sunlight. You can kind of see, you know, a lot less shadows is what I'm saying. But we're going to keep it blue themed right here. And we're going to come back with Mark Cassidy from the Hillbenders. Go to thehillbenders.com. Please, they're touring all over the country. Rolling Stones loves them. Variety loves them. South by Southwest loves them. The Who love them. But you can follow Mark on Twitter at Banjist09, Banjist09. And then look up Chris Porter, too. Go on Netflix, man. His special is absolutely awesome. And his little gig he's doing in Nashville, it's like this badass like Kid Rock festival that he's doing. But absolutely hilarious. Always been good to me. Done a few shows with him on the road up in San Francisco and some other places, but very funny man. So check out Chris Porter on Netflix, his comedy special, and go to thehillbenders.com. Go see them live or just download their album. It's absolutely phenomenal. But when we come back, we'll be talking with Mark Cassidy of the Hillbenders. That's Hill Benders. It sound like I said, Hell Benders. It's Hill, H-I-L-L, Benders. Hill Benders.
1730, I'm like, hey, what's up, hello? Since your pretty ass, soon as you came in the door, I just want to chill, got a sack for us to roll. Married to the money, introduced her to my stove. Showed her how to whip it, now she remixing for low. She my track queen, let her hit the band. Counting up, watch how far them bands go. We just set a goal, talking matching Lambos. I fit the 60 grand, 500 grams though. Man, I swear I love her, how she worked the damn pole. Hit the strip club, we be letting bands go. Everybody hating, we just call them fans though. In love with the money, I ain't.
All right, and we are back with Mark Cassidy of the Hillbenders, of being awesome. And huge Dodgers fan. Mark, how does it feel to be back in Los Angeles in California after being on the road all summer, being away from your Dodgers, but still, I mean, you still managed to see some games, but how does it feel to be home in time for the playoffs?
Man, it feels great, especially, you know, it gives me a couple days to kind of hibernate before I try to, you know, scramble and find tickets over to Dodger Stadium on Friday.
Now, how many games did you manage to attend this year?
I made it to about 10 or 12 games.
That's
which is pretty good for me because I went to consecutive days because I'm out of town so much, you know. So I just got it any time I could.
Well, and then when it's a priority, you know.
And
now, would you do the pregame at the Dodger Bar? I'm going to forget the name, but just down the street at Sunset, you know, which
shortstop.
You short? Yep.
Yep, that's the one. Yeah. You know, I usually try to keep it as cheap as I can at my house, you know, because I live about a mile away from the stadium. So I try to keep it as cheap as I can. I get my pregame done over here, and then find an Uber to drop me off at Elysian Park.
Well, what I had a spot for years, and I'm sure you could probably use it. I'm not going to disclose the location, but you could park for free, and then from there, it was maybe a half mile walk. I mean, it was just up those two big hills, and then you were at the stadium, you know.
Yeah. You got to brave the hills.
But it also allotted a perfect amount of time to finish probably two beers.
Yeah. Two tall boys.
You know, so you figure right there you're saving $20 and $20 in parking. So you're already up $40 before you even bought a ticket yet.
Yeah, that's right. And then you got to buy a Dodger Dog, so that'll take you down another seven. But that's all right. You're still coming out on top.
You know what, and this is what I love, and I remember I forgot about why I love Dodger Stadium, Chavez Ravine, so much, and it's the smell of the garlic fries. This stadium smells so good. These garlic fries wafting everywhere, and it's so – you don't even have to buy them because the aroma is so thick, you can almost just bite into it.
You can chew the aroma on that one. They have it. Garlic fries is the scent of baseball for me. Like, whenever I get that first scent of garlic fries, I did Fan Fest earlier this year, before spring training or anything like that, and I went out there and they had the garlic fries cooking, and it just got me super fired up for the season. Of course.
Oh, it's Gordon and Birsch or Biersch or something, or Hirsch, or anyway.
Yeah, Hirsch.
I call them Dodger fries, but at home, if you want to make them, you just fry it up. It's rosemary or thyme, fresh garlic, olive oil, salt and pepper. But it's delicious. Just all tossed up.
You know the recipe for it.
Oh, yeah. No, I looked in there because I looked in there when I got them. I'm like, well, I'm going to make these at home. And they're not as good, but it smells like it. That's all you're really going for is the smell.
Yeah, those fryers have been marinating.
Yes, to say the least. It's like an old barbecue smoker, you know, but
but
with an Italian kind of scent. Tell me about the road, man, this summer. I mean, you guys were busy. You guys got some critical acclaim from Rolling Stone, you know, from some legendary musicians. You know, played some great shows. What was that like? I mean, was it just nonstop, go go go?
You know, yeah, pretty much. You know, I got friends around here in LA, and they're like, you know, a guy that I make music with as well, a Giants fan, but we won't get into that. But he hits me up and he goes, man, I haven't seen you for about 6 months, and to me it feels like it was, you know, a yes. week and a half ago.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh man, you know. And then I look at the calendar and I'm just like, yeah, I mean, the last tune that we recorded was in, you know, in March, and I haven't seen anyone really since then. So I'm just kind of getting back into making my rounds and letting everyone know that I'm still alive, you know.
Well, which is good. The world needs as much Mark Cassidy influence as possible.
And then, you know, that's why it's so good that I take off for a little while, because sometimes it gets to be too much Mark Cassidy, and then people are like, oh, okay, I'm ready for that 6 months.
They're like, oh, not Mark Cassidy again. Which,
yeah, I got to keep.
Which, listeners, find him on Twitter at Banjist, BANJIST09, Banjist09 on Twitter, and I believe Instagram as well.
Yep, Instagram as well, and Mark Cassidy Facebook page as well, and Hillbenders, and
hell yeah.
Other fun stuff.
So are you going to talk about being a Dodgers fan now, the history, the lack, I mean, going to the playoffs now 3 years in a row, winning the division, being a relatively 50-50 playoff team, you know, ever since I first moved to LA in 04, you know, back, I mean, my first Dodgers playoff experience was the Lima time against the Cardinals, and he actually got the win. I know the Cardinals then, I think that was the first series that the Cardinals beat the Dodgers in the first of many to come. So they're perennially on and off again a playoff team, but to never quite even get to the World Series, or let alone win it, what's that feeling like? Are you just kind of fed up with it? You're like, what's the deal? Like, what can we do? Or because it seems like they try, but there's never enough.
I mean, the odds are really, you know, it's tough that it goes through the same thing year after year, but at the same time, it still keeps you really excited as a fan. You're not seeing a real decline in the franchise. You know, like, there's always great teams. It's always exciting. And so it makes it more exciting to watch a season, I guess. I mean, I get, you know, completely heartbroken and probably don't talk about, you know, baseball for a month or something, you know, during most Octobers. But, it's kind of, you know, that sort of excitement is what keeps me so proud to be a fan, so excited to go every single year and you know, talk to everyone, you know, all my friends that are Dodgers fans or not, just really love baseball. It's fun to talk about that. You know, it's fun to say this is our year, you know, and even if it doesn't happen, I'll still the next year go, this is our year, you know, and it's just fun.
No, and it can be. And you know what? And here's one thing I want the listeners at home to know, is that the Dodgers fans do get a bad rap, and for good reason. I mean, I've seen some pretty ruthless stuff, but there are some really, they're good fans, as far as if you go to a game, it's going to be packed. And it's not like this is Kauffman Stadium, you know, where there's 38,000, 39,000, you know, this is 4,000 seats. I mean, it is an enormous stadium. And for the most part, it's full a lot of the times, you know. And so you guys are diehard fans. And, you know, they do put a good product out there, which was always my argument against St. Louis being the best fans ever. It's like, well, yeah, you guys are in the playoffs every year. It's pretty, you know, try going to a Royals game in 2009 and tell me who's a better baseball fan, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I lost track of what I was saying here. But just like anything else in Los Angeles, it's completely packed full of people, I think is what I was getting at there.
And, I mean, yes, there is a large population. But, I mean, look, it's like they put a good team out there, and, you know, that's why I do hate Cardinals fans. So I'm not trying to – it is a similar argument. But what I'm saying is it's like there are nice fans. They get the stigma of beating up people. Yeah, so you beat a couple people up in the parking lot. You know what? It'll happen, and they've taken precautions. The parking lot's –
The question is, do they deserve it?
Right.
Nah,
probably not, knowing Dodger fans, but
yeah.
So you think this is your year? Wrapping up, is this your guy's year?
Yes, I do believe this is our year. I believe you know, watching him get even closer to the postseason, the way Kershaw, the way Greinke's been pitching, you know, Brett Anderson's in there. I think Eric Hauswood's in there too. I mean, I think he's kind of stepped it up a little bit. I think we have a great defense. I think the bats will start swinging. I think it'll be a great postseason. And I actually do. I should be careful what I wish for, but I actually do wish we meet up with those Cardinals before we get to the World Series.
Oh, absolutely. You want to overcome that and be like, hey, we didn't just dodge you in the playoffs. We beat you, and then that just creates a whole bunch of momentum leading into the World Series.
Oh yeah. And I think those Jays are going to be tough, but it would be good to see the Royals back in, and it would be good to go head to head with them. Drink some beer with them, watch the game.
Well, hopefully I'll be getting off the train at Union Station, taking an Uber to Chavez Ravine for a Dodgers Royals World Series game. That'd be incredible.
That would just be magic.
Hell yeah! Well, anything else, Mar? You want to get out of your system before we get out of here?
Yeah, I'm just really happy you didn't bring up the Miami Dolphins. So
This isn't about the Dolphins.
Okay. Well, I'm glad we passed that.
Yeah, the next time we have you on, maybe it can be about the Dolphins here in a couple months when you guys have the second or third pick in the draft.
Yeah, or the second or third coach. All right, Johnny. Hey, a bunch.
Absolutely, man. Thanks for your time. We'll talk soon, all right?
Yeah, have a good
one. I just want to chill. Got a sack for us to roll. Married to the money. Introduced her to my stove. Showed her how to whip it. Now she remixes it for love.
Thank you, Chris Porter. Thank you, Mark Cassidy. Thank you, Ryan Lilja. And, you know, I'm going to leave you with this, the Trap Queen. It's the Royals anthem for this season. So if you don't like it, tough, because it's a song they're going to play every game when they win in the playoffs. Kansas City, I'll see you in 12 hours. Stay obsessed.
Smoking dope, you know, backwards what I roll. Remy boy, Fetty, eating shit up.
GF Productions.